It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We're 40 minutes in front of NPR's live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump, with 4 hours of debate split between the two parties scheduled. After that, an anticipated vote on whether witnesses will be called. And from there, it's up in the air. We'll have the live coverage for you with NPR analysis. May go into tomorrow as well. Film Week is preempted today. It's scheduled for tomorrow at noon, but could be preempted if the trial continues into tomorrow. If so, Film Week will air Sunday at noon here on KPCC. We're going to talk politics now, and joining us is Ms. Elena Egolfopoulou, who is campaign reporter for Bloomberg. She's in Iowa following the campaigning candidates there. Ms. Elena, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're not seeing the senators there on these weekdays, right? Because they're tied up with this big event on Capitol Hill. So what's going on with the other candidates trying to take advantage of that absence?
That's exactly right. So notably absent from the state a few days before the caucuses have been the three senators that are stuck in D.C. for impeachment: Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Senator Elizabeth Warren. And all of those three candidates have really tried to make their presence, known in the state via other ways. They've deployed their surrogates in the state to hold events for them. They've done telephone town halls with Iowans, really trying to keep that momentum going. But of course, other candidates have been in the state, talking to voters face to face. And so what we're really looking at right now is whether that's going to make a difference leading up to the caucuses on Monday, because you have someone like Pete Buttigieg who's held, some 40 town halls in the past 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, these senators have been stuck in D.C., really only being able to come to Iowa during the weekends. And so, you have Joe Biden in the state, Pete Buttigieg in the state, talking to voters. Joe Biden really trying to sort of draw some contrast with his main rival right now, who is Senator Sanders. Yesterday, we saw him call Senator Sanders out by name over his record on gun laws. Pete Buttigieg also taking swipes at his competitors, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, over, their age and their record, and really trying to make his pitch for generational change in the days leading up to the caucuses. And so what we're looking at this weekend is having the whole field back in the state and really seeing whether we're going to see any more swipes coming out from the candidates as they really try to contrast themselves and really give voters an idea of who they really are and how they're different from their rivals in this really, really broad field. And we finally have the senators back into the state. So holding events, across the state. Senator Sanders is here. He's throwing a rally with Vampire Weekend, the band. He's throwing a Super Bowl party, on Sunday. Senator Warren has events across the state. So she's going from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River. Amy Klobuchar, the same. She's crisscrossing, really, really trying to hone in on their closing arguments and that electability pitch of, why they're the ones that that voters should choose to unite the party and to beat Donald Trump, which seems to be the most pressing sort of concern out of Iowa voters in this race.
I'm struck, Ms. Elena, by how different the polling is coming out of Iowa ahead of the caucuses. And I know caucuses are much more difficult to poll than a primary because the whole process adds layers of complexity. But it also speaks to the demographic difference of Iowa from the rest of the Democratic constituency around the country. So you see Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, all three of them, at least in the polling that I've seen, ahead of Joe Biden. Is that what you're seeing in the latest polls?
I mean, The poll, you're right. Historically, Iowa has been very difficult to poll because of its complicated caucus system. And we've had multiple polls come out this week. And what that indicates to us is really that there is no clear front runner.
Ah, okay.
Iowa is still up for grabs, which is why this weekend is very important. We have four candidates clustered together at the top and sort of stuck in this tight race for the winning ticket out of Iowa. When you look at averages, we're seeing Senator Sanders and Joe Biden sort of at the top after the first and second spots, and we're seeing Senator Warren and Pete Buttigieg going after third and fourth place. But historically, the most accurate poll has been the one that comes out of the Des Moines Register, the paper here in Iowa. And the one that came out last showed Bernie Sanders first, Elizabeth Warren second, Pete Buttigieg third, and Joe Biden fourth. And so all eyes are on the next Des Moines Register poll that's coming out on Saturday. And of course, even that, you know, is going to be indicative up until a certain point, because, again, the Iowa is really hard to poll, and all these candidates really have different strengths within the state that they're going to try and use on Monday. Senator Sanders is really focusing on activating his voter base and on voter turnout and getting people out there that may not necessarily have gone out to vote otherwise. Elizabeth Warren has one of the largest organizing ground games in the state, and that can make a big difference for her on Monday. Joe Biden has a history with the state. People know him here, and that's really something that he can use at his advantage, and he has throughout the entire race. And then, of course, Pete Buttigieg is really focusing on being that unity candidate and on those Obama-Trump voters that are expected to make a big difference.
Mr. Lane, one of the things I've seen about Biden supporters, we know that they're older from polling, but that I've seen that makes them less likely to caucus, which surprises me because I would think that for older Iowans that, you know, going out to a caucus would, you know, be something of great significance they'd make an effort to do. Can you speak to that issue as to whether that is a hindrance for Biden?
I think it's a hindrance for really all candidates. I mean, you know, the Iowa caucuses are events that have notoriously been difficult in terms of voter turnout because they're held in very specific places during very specific times. And like that doesn't mean that a lot of people can be there at that time. And so that's a risk that a lot of the candidates hold. But I mean, you are in the sense that Senator Sanders and Senator Warren and even Pete Buttigieg have really focused on you know, younger voter outreach, and overwhelmingly the polls show that younger voters favor those candidates. And so whether those younger voters are going to turn out is still unclear, but if they do, that would give them an advantage over Joe Biden. But of course, even older voters, you know, they're more dependable in some sort of ways because historically they've turned out in the numbers that they're meant to turn out. And so we really don't know exactly what the voter turnout is going to be like. Caucuses make it way more complicated, and that's something that, you know, having a good organizing game in the state is really going to make a difference for.
We're talking with Miserlena Egolfopoulou, who's reporter for Bloomberg. She's out on the campaign trail in Iowa, giving us a view of what's happening there and all the cities where candidates are making appearances to rally support for Monday's Iowa caucuses. Ms. Elena, thank you very much for being with us and describing what you're seeing there out with the long days of coverage.
Yeah, happy to.
Thanks very much. Also with us is Zach Montalaro, campaign reporter for Politico. Zach, good to have you with us again. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's talk, first of all, about where things stand in the polling, because we have at least a couple of polls I've seen. You've probably seen more than I have, but the Los Angeles Times poll showing at the national level, Joe Biden with a significant lead. It's shrunk since earlier polls, but he's still holding a lead in national polls with 34% to Bernie Sanders 18 and Elizabeth Warren 6. So huge difference there. But then I was looking at the Wall Street Journal poll that came out today showing Biden and Sanders in a statistical dead heat. So what do we take from that?
Well, the first thing we take from it is that polls are tough and you should never read too much into one individual poll. You know, anywhere within a margin of error, results can vary by 4 or 5 points. But right now, it really looks like Joe Biden may have a narrow lead nationally over Senator Sanders, who's probably a clear second place. Elizabeth Warren is probably a clear third place. And then after that, the field kind of gets muddied up. You know, people like Mike Bloomberg, Pete Buttigieg are kind of battling for that fourth place spot. Amy Klobuchar is occasionally in the mix. And it really looks like right now, the polls haven't changed all that much nationally. If you look back at the polls a year ago today, Joe Biden is leading them. Joe Biden is still leading them. You know, that's going to shift depending on what the heck happens in Iowa and New Hampshire and Nevada and South Carolina. But, you know, Biden has been a very durable front runner.
It also seems that Elizabeth Warren has seen some decline. Joe Biden seems to have seen some decline, but still leads. Elizabeth Warren seems also to have declined, and that Bernie Sanders has strengthened. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to look at it. But so much of what these national polls will reflect is what happens in Iowa and New Hampshire. You know, if one of the top four candidates, Biden, Sanders, Warren, and we'll throw in Buttigieg because he's running much stronger in Iowa and New Hampshire than he is nationally. If one of those four, you know, whoever comes away with a victory in one or both of those states probably will see some sort of bump in national polling. You know, right around the corner, too, is states like Nevada and South Carolina and Super Tuesday, mind you, which is when most, you know, the biggest single day of voting, I believe, is Super Tuesday. Some states like California, states like Texas, Virginia, Minnesota are all going to be casting their ballots on Super Tuesday. So when we see these national polls, you know, they're important to know how the national electorate feels about this, but it comes down to how campaigns are operating within these individual states. And it's going to be a real challenge for a lot of campaigns to get out of Iowa, to get out of New Hampshire, to even survive as long to Super Tuesday. And that's the real test here. Who can survive that long?
We're seeing Mike Bloomberg's commercials everywhere. Same Tom Steyer, heavily advertising as well, these two very wealthy candidates. And, you know, I've wondered if there's the potential, even though they're not politically all that similar, Bloomberg running as the more moderate candidate to Steyer's more progressive opinions. But I wonder if the two run the risk with the deluge of ads of sort of canceling each other out. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's remarkable how much the two of them have spent. Collectively, they spent, I think, close to $400 million on advertising alone. That is just an unfathomable amount of money.
Before Iowa.
Really wrap your mind. Before Iowa. And Mike Bloomberg's not even spending money in Iowa. Mike Bloomberg taking a strategy of trying to avoid the two, or, you know, the four early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and trying to compete starting in Super Tuesday. It's kind of interesting that two billionaires, you know, granted, Tom Steyer is a quote-unquote poor billionaire compared to Mike Bloomberg. You want to phrase that?
Poor Tom.
Very different path. Yeah, poor Tom, a mere $1.8 billion. But Tom put his money into those early states, and Mike Bloomberg is intentionally skipping them, focusing on California, on Texas, on Minnesota, on basically everywhere else. You know, they're like a pure political science experiment, you know, basically, is how much money, or how much can television ads move your numbers? And that's really what Mike Bloomberg does.
I want to thank you, Zach. Good to have you with us again. And we'll look forward to your ongoing reporting on this fascinating Democratic primary race. Thanks, Zach Montalaro, joining us from Politico. He's campaign reporter for the publication. We're going to take a brief break. And then when we come back, our focus is on a proposed significant change for Hollywood Boulevard, the street, for those of us who grew up here, carries so much meaning. And of course, for tourists around the world, who make a point of seeing that famous street with its Walk of Fame and all the stars. But there may be big changes coming. We'll talk about what they are right after this.